This is part 9 of a 10-part podcast on your electronic health record and taking control of your own health management. Enjoy the episode.
It is a part of the evolving modern man.
Yeah.
Dan, and people should embrace it. And of course, we have very good examples where it's abused.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I do agree, and I put my hand up that it is happening. But in general, if you look at the bigger picture here and you see where this is moving, imagine now taking somebody's mobile phone away from you.
Yeah.
You know, or take away being able to book your online flight. You know, it would be ludicrous.
Yeah.
Right. Now, that is exactly what's going to happen here. I believe that once we have given access for people to manage their electronic health records, and I don't want to preempt the study outcome here, but what I do believe is that people are ready for that.
Yeah.
And I believe that people are ready to embrace the technologies that's available to us to do exactly that, right?
Well, for anyone who doesn't think that we're already there, because we're already there.
I
used to think this a lot about our phones, in that I noticed myself and most of my peers that my ability for my recall or my ability to tell a story was diminishing, because all I ever did when someone asked me was I'd pull out my phone and I'd show them something, or my ability to think of an answer to a question, I'd just Google it.
Mm.
So I think it was Elon Musk actually mentioned this in a conversation he was having, where they were talking about what's the cyber or Neuralink.
Yeah.
And people said, you're crazy trying to link your brain with a computer. He's like, we already do it. Reach into your pocket. Your memory bank is pretty much in your pocket now, because all your photographs and your videos, and when someone asks you, show me this, you don't recall it from your brain. You just go to your digital brain and you recall it. So we're already there. And you just mentioned, take away someone's phone, it's like you cut out a lobe of their brain because all of a sudden you can't remember things and you don't know what happened and you don't know your passwords and you can't access your money. And so realistically, we're already inevitably intertwined
with very few people memorize all their mobile numbers.
I only know one mobile number now, it's my own. And it's only because I have to re-register it every time I put a SIM in the phone.
That's exactly.
So we're losing already that, but we're transitioning
exactly
to an electronic AI learning system.
Exactly. So what I can reflect on there, with credit to colleagues from the Old Dominion University in the US, and the University of North Florida in Jacksonville. It's a publication that they brought out during the pandemic. And this was only published there in April of this year in the International Journal for Information Management. Right? And they did a very thorough assessment of what went wrong and what can we do better. And I think it's important that we just reflect on that for a moment, because it answers your question about how does people embrace this? What about this fourth industrial revolution? It is is it a threat or a friend?
Yeah.
And I think what they concluded was very interesting. And we know that the pandemic has caused huge impact on hospital systems, businesses, schools, the economy, etc. We also suddenly saw that telemedicine, which was talked about for many decades, suddenly became a reality. People have to now Zoom consultation their doctor, right? We saw the telework with, we saw online education become a reality and essential, right? We saw that a lot of apps and stuff were developed on the internet to see how can they reduce the infection spread. But also, what the pandemic has done is has generated demand for efforts to use innovative technologies to cope with damage from the COVID-19. So all these apps, everything that you started seeing coming out and track and tracing, is in response to a need.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what people are looking for. They're looking for solutions.
Yeah.
And having your own electronic health record is just another solution for something that is really critically needed, right? So the pandemic provided a very rare opportunity to study the research and practice of the technology, including information management and medical informatics, and the effect it has on work practices and how we design and how do we use these technologies. Without the pandemic, I don't think anything would have changed.
Yeah.
I think we'd just carry on like this until it one day hit again.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact that it's happened, people said, hang on a minute. Why did this happen? Right? We have better ways, guys. We just need to do it in a more controlled way. All right.
Well, isn't it like we discussed with people coming to see you after they've had the heart attack?
Exactly.
Why wait for the heart attack? Let's stop waiting for the heart attack, guys. Let's exactly. not wait till we have a heart attack and go to see Dr. Sam. Let's change the way we do things to stop us from having a heart attack.
That is exactly the same principle that we're dealing here with. But it took a pandemic.
But it took a heart attack.
It took the heart attack
yeah.
for people to realize, I have actually no choice here.
Yeah, guys.
I have to change this, you know. So we saw the quite quick transition to telehealth taking place in the pandemic. We saw also that the information systems and the technology systems that was out there became really valuable to us and found new applications. A WhatsApp group transferring specific knowledge, you know, and academics exchanging new knowledge about treatment ways and colleagues talking to each other across the world, making use of the technologies is just a simple example, but it existed.
Yeah.
It's exactly what happened, right? And we also know that some people started with virus tracking and all kinds of applications that started to take place. And these things are realities. And it happened because of the pandemic.
Of COVID, right? Yeah.
But also we know that we started to analyze and the need to have big data available to make good decisions were completely absent.
Yeah.
The most expensive consultancies were paid in this past pandemic. And the question is, did it make a difference? Unlikely.
Yeah.
Why? Because it was on best guess, best guesstimation. It was best interpretation of current knowledge. And did that always create the best guidelines to lock people up or lock them down? When to release? We still don't have that.
Yeah.
Right. And that is only possible if you have real data.
Yeah.
And we believe that is possible if you start on a micromanagement, which you mentioned previously. Macro management in this pandemic failed. It horribly failed financially, economically, health-wise, results-wise. Unfortunately, it failed, right? So we have to do it differently, right?
Yeah.
So there is currently a shortage of research information, right? So this study that we do in Dublin is purely to try to establish a new way of thinking. And is the way that we're thinking actually the solution or not? How does people feel about that?
Yeah.
You know, how do they interact with the opportunity? So those are the things that we find cause to say, guys, hang on here a moment. What do we know really about the electronic health record? We have it on paper. We have it in a lot of publications. But let's put it into practice and let's learn from that. So it affected the design. So, for instance, we had to be very careful how you raise the question, right? How do you highlight certain questions to be answered? And people are getting anxious, say, oh my goodness, am I now COVID positive because I've ticked three boxes here?
Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot of things that we need to learn still and how to approach this. But what we do know is that monitoring the client on a daily basis might be a game changer in the future. Also, what do you do about your most vulnerable people? How do you protect them? We have to do it differently. Look at the huge amount of elderly people that succumbed to the virus. So we obviously failed in our preventative measures and what we did and the decisions that was made were not always, it was in the best interest. I fully appreciate that and I'm not accusing and I don't point a finger at all. I'm just looking at the big data here. We horribly failed our elderly people and the vulnerable people. We have to look at different strategies. How do we encompass and make socioeconomic groups of different stance and economic ability? How do we give them the same survivability than somebody in a high economic group? So there's a lot of disparity if you look at the outcome of the pandemic where communities suffer gravely because of their socioeconomic status.
Yeah.
Right. And even their color or race.
Yeah.
So this is much wider than what we just look at, but you have to start somewhere.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to part 9 of this 10-part series. If you'd like any further information on the topics of this podcast, or if you'd like to get involved with the research project, please contact Dr. Sam's team on reception@newacell.com.